the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. A message today that I call a man in a tree, or a man in the tree. It was springtime. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. His disciples didn't know it. In fact, only Jesus knew it. But this would be the last Passover celebration he would celebrate with them. The cross was coming. It was coming very soon. Jesus had taught recently in Galilee. He had come down through Perea and was now crossing the Jordan River and entering into southern Israel. And he came into the ancient city of Jericho, a city which now is some 10,000 years old. Jericho was about 5 miles west of the Jordan River and about 10 miles northwest of the Dead Sea. And it was an old city, now at this point in time, with newer walls, rebuilt from the days of Joshua. It sat on a part of land that was very fertile and luxurious. It had rows of balsam trees, which perfumed the air for miles and miles. It had gardens of roses, which were famous in the Middle East. And it had dates that the Romans loved and used in commerce throughout the Mediterranean world. Jericho had people, lots of people. It was an urban center. It was a city bursting with noise and activity. Since Jericho was a city that was on the approach to Jerusalem from the east, it had a road that the merchants used. The merchants came through there, went back through there, and that brought on taxation. That brought on import duties. In fact, there were several forms of taxation which the Jewish people had to contend with. Jericho was actually one of three tax centers in the land of Israel. The other two were Capernaum and Caesarea. The Romans controlled those tax centers and collected a lot of money from them. And our story today concerns one tax collector employed by the Romans and hated by his people. So let's begin chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, I call a man became a child. He entered Jericho, that's Jesus. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. We're introduced to this man named Zacchaeus. I'm sure that many of you, if you attended Sunday school in a church somewhere, you may have learned the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. Yeah. Catchy little phrase. But let me tell you that the true story is a lot more significant than that. Zacchaeus was a commissioner of taxes in Jericho. And there were all kinds of taxes that the Romans collected. For one thing, the Romans imposed a poll tax on every adult Jewish male and woman. If you were a man or a woman, you had to pay a poll tax each year for the privilege of living. What a thing. The Jews were also subject to a form of income tax. We're familiar with that one, aren't we? Also a version of property taxes, and we're definitely familiar with those. And this was especially true for the farmers and the merchants that were trying to sell their goods. Not only could the goods themselves be taxed as they traveled through Jericho, but the tax agents would actually tax the number of wheels on your cart, the number of animals pulling your cart or wagon. They taxed everything they could. And these people lived in a day when there was no mass communication. There was no printed information on how the taxes were. Nobody ever knew how much tax they were supposed to pay. They just had to pay what the tax man said. And here's the kicker. The tax collectors worked on a commission basis. As long as they collected enough to make the Romans happy, they could collect a little bit more. They could collect extra. They could pad their total. Keep the extra for themselves, and that's exactly what they did. Tax collectors in that day were notorious for legally robbing the people blind. And the people were helpless to do anything about it. Therefore, these tax collectors were hated. They were the scum of Israel. They were despised. First of all, they're working with the Romans, the oppressors. And then on top of that, they're a bunch of thieves. They were stealing from their own people and getting away with it. And that's why tax collectors in Jesus' day were actually barred from attending the synagogues. They couldn't go into a house of God. They couldn't go into what we would call a church today. In fact, when they would come nearby, I'm sure the townspeople of Jericho would just spit in their direction. Here in our story is Zacchaeus. He's described as a chief tax collector. He was a supervisor. The other tax collectors worked for him. He got a commission from their commission. Anytime there was money collected in Jericho, Zacchaeus got a piece of the action. And the text tells us that he was rich. You bet he was rich. He was rich from cheating his own people. He was most certainly the most hated man in Jericho. That's the point of the story. He's not just a tax collector. He's the commissioner. And yet our story tells us that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus. How could he not? This rabbi from Galilee was the talk of the town. And now this rabbi was actually going through their town, going up to Jerusalem for Passover. He had dozens of pilgrims walking with him, making that trip. And there were hundreds of people of Jericho who were lining the streets wanting to see him, each one wanting to get a glimpse of this famous man. It was a moving crowd of excited, enthusiastic people. Maybe Zacchaeus had heard that this rabbi, Jesus, had actually taken another tax collector to be one of his disciples, a man by the name of Levi Matthew. That was unheard of. A rabbi taking on a tax collector as a disciple? Nobody did that. Maybe that Zacchaeus had heard some of the fragments of Jesus' sermons that people talked about. And I'm sure he had heard about miracles. And by this point in time, he obviously had heard about the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, because that happened just a few miles north and just a couple of months ago. And he knew about that story. Everybody talked about it. And yet, maybe, just maybe, this guy Zacchaeus was a little bit dissatisfied with his life. You know, his name in Hebrew is the exact opposite of what he was. His parents had named him Zacchaeus, which literally means righteous one, pure one. They had high hopes for him. Yet he turned out to be anything but what they had hoped for. He was unrighteous, impure, a sinner, a traitor to his people, the scum of the earth. He was a man that all men hated. Yes, he was rich. He was a dignitary to the Romans. But he was despised by his people. He was excluded from the religious life of his people. And he hears that this strange rabbi from Galilee coming through who has been talking about that God loves everybody. God loves even people like him. He tried to get in the crowd to get a look at Jesus for himself. He wanted to see this Jesus. I'm sure that people noticed him when he tried to get in the crowd. And I just imagine that as they noticed him, they took a little action. Jab here, trip there, spit right over here. I'm sure that he was harassed as he was in the crowd of people who hated his guts. And of all things, he was a short guy. So not only was he getting harassed by people in the crowd, but he would jump up and down and try to see over their heads that he couldn't see. You know, he could have given up at that point. He could have just said to himself, it's no use. I can't see this rabbi. I might as well go back home. But he didn't. Instead, he made a decision. He set a determination. He was going to see this rabbi Jesus no matter what. Surely the Holy Spirit was operating in Zacchaeus' life. You see, nobody can come to God. No one can come to God unless the Holy Spirit of God draws them first. Well, God was drawing. This man began running. It was not customary for a Jewish man to run. But this man ran. He ran like a little boy. He ran ahead of the crowd, ran down the roadside until he came to a fig tree. This sycamore fig tree had a sturdy trunk and low-hanging branches. And like a little boy, he climbed up that tree. He climbed up and sat down on one of those branches, his back to the trunk of the tree, his legs dangling on both sides of a limb. Well, he didn't look very dignified, but at least now he could get a good view. His eyes could look down now on the top of everybody's heads, and he knew that they all looked down on him anyhow. Might have looked silly, and he was probably hoping that nobody would recognize his face. But at least now he could try to get a glimpse of Jesus. So let's move on in our text, verses 5 through 7. I call a seeking man becomes found. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He's gone to be in the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus watched as the crowd came closer. Hundreds of excited people moving along at a steady pace. Rabbi Jesus was out in front speaking to people as they walked. There were men and women crowded along beside him. It almost seemed like everybody in the crowd wanted to touch Jesus. It was difficult to make out the faces of anybody as he watched this crowd come closer, but at last Zacchaeus could point out Jesus. There he was, this amazing teacher, the one that's so-called miracle worker, who's done miracles that are incredible to believe. This man must be from God. There he is. And this rabbi came right up under that tree where Zacchaeus was sitting, and he stopped. Zacchaeus could see his head, see his robes. Zacchaeus could see all the people gathered around him, all of them straining and turning their bodies to try to get a good view at him. There he was under his tree. But he stopped, and he looked up, right at Zacchaeus. Jesus could see Zacchaeus' face, and Zacchaeus could see Jesus. And then Jesus spoke. "Zacchaeus!" He called his name. How did he know his name? Zacchaeus was shocked. How does he know me? The crowd was shocked. "You mean that's Zacchaeus, the tax commissioner? What's he doing here? Anybody got any stones? Let's throw a rock at him. Is the master going to rebuke him? Are you going to fuss him out, Jesus? Are you going to tell him what a miserable sinner he is? He deserves it." You know, I can't say this for sure when I read Scripture. Sometimes my mind just kind of works a little imagination. But I think perhaps Jesus said his name twice. The first time he said it loud so it would rise above the crowd and get everybody's attention and get Zacchaeus' attention. "Zacchaeus!" And everybody was shocked. And then I think he said it softly. And I think that's where we have the record in our text. "Zacchaeus." He spoke with love. He spoke with kindness. "Hurry, come down from there. I must be your guest today." The crowd was stunned. Zacchaeus was stunned. "Rabbi Jesus is calling for me? He wants to come to my house? Nobody wants to come to my house." But Jesus was calling him. In fact, Jesus was inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house. He was not going to just drop by for 10 minutes and say hello. He was going to spend the night there. He and his disciples were going to come and be a guest in his residence. He was talking about eating a meal and then taking his rest in the residence of the villain of Jericho. People in the crowd were flabbergasted. "Jesus, you don't know what you're doing. This man is a sinner. He's the biggest sinner in our city. He's the worst of the worst. He's scumbag. Our own rabbis won't even speak to him. You can't go to his house, Jesus. You surely can't stay there. Jesus, you don't know who he is. Ah, but he did. He did. He knew all about him. And even in this man's sin and shame, and despite all the hatred of the crowd, Jesus still loved him. Do you know this is the only time in Scripture where Jesus invited himself to somebody's home? He'd never done that before. He'd never do it again. At least not that we can see. But he was doing it on that day. Zacchaeus thought that he was trying to see Jesus. The truth was, of all the thousands of people in Jericho that day, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus was seeking a sinner who needed God. He still does that. He still does that. Let's look at one passage of Scripture, a very famous passage. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." That door is the door of your heart. And Jesus is knocking. He's knocking. Let me in. But you have to make the decision to open your heart to him. He's not going to barge in. He's not going to burst in uninvited. He'll only come in if you open the door of your heart to him. You have that choice. Well, in our story, Zacchaeus could have stayed up in that tree. He could have looked down at that angry crowd where everybody hated his guts. He could have said to Jesus, "No, I'll pass on that. I'm a lot safer up here. They were kicking me and tripping me when I was down there. They can't hurt me up here in the tree. I just wanted to get a good look at you anyhow, Jesus." He could have acted that way, but he didn't. He obeyed Jesus' words. He followed Jesus' instruction, and he scurried down from that tree, and again, he wasn't very dignified. He slid down the bark of that tree as fast as he could. Zacchaeus made a choice that day to receive Jesus joyfully. The crowd still murmured. People of the town were confused. What is going on? How can a rabbi go to the home of such a sinner like this? They glared with their eyes. They frowned with their mouths. They parted their bodies as Jesus and his bewildered disciples turned and changed direction. Instead of walking on the road toward Jerusalem, they began to follow Zacchaeus in a different direction to his house. There was a sense of stunned silence as the crowd observed Jesus walking with this sinner, this guy who's the worst man in Jericho. Everybody hates him. Nobody could think of anything to say. But Zacchaeus knew what to say. He stopped. He looked at the crowd of people who hated him, men and women who despised him for years and years and years. And then he looked at Jesus, this man of God who was choosing to stay with him, accepting him in spite of his sins. Then Zacchaeus spoke. Let's look at verse 8 in our text. I call this a small man became big. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." I want you to notice what Zacchaeus called him. He called him Lord. Kyrios in our Greek text. Lord. Master. He didn't call him teacher. Didn't call him rabbi. He called him Lord. Now, does that mean that Zacchaeus understood all the Christian theology at that moment of time? Did he really understand that Jesus was Messiah? Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus would soon be the Savior of the world? Did he grasp all that? Probably not. But he did understand enough to know that Jesus was from God. Jesus represented the God of his fathers, and Zacchaeus, oh, he yearned to know again the God of his fathers, the God that his parents had talked about when he was a child. And Zacchaeus was surprised and grateful that this man, Jesus, was accepting a man like him. For the first time in a long time, somebody was showing him love. All his adult life, Zacchaeus had lived for himself. He had lived for greed. Now he was turning in a different direction. The Bible calls this repentance. Repentance just means to turn. To turn from self, turn from your sin, turn to God. Just turn. Turn to him. It involves a submission of the heart toward God. That's what Zacchaeus was doing that day. He wasn't giving away money trying to earn God's favor. He knew he couldn't. He was giving away wealth because God was changing his heart. God was changing his heart. Look again at verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, and you bet he had, I restore it fourfold." It was considered extremely generous in that day for a person to give one-fifth of their income to the poor. If a person gave 20% of their income to the poor, that was a righteous, great, fantastic guy. Zacchaeus was giving half. And with the other half, he was going to make restitution. Jewish law required that if you had extorted someone, you were required to pay them back what you extorted plus 20%. Zacchaeus was saying, "I'll give four times as much of what I took." And I'll bet there were people in that crowd that day that said, "Okie dokie. I got a record for you, Zacchaeus. Why, you cheated me, you cheated my mother-in-law, you cheated my uncle, my cousin. Well, there's a lot of people in this crowd you've cheated over the years." But Zacchaeus said it publicly because he meant it publicly. He was changing. By the way, this demonstrates a principle that restitution for wrongs done is biblical. Becoming a Christian doesn't excuse you from crimes of the past. Restitution, where it's possible, is the proper course of action for a believer in Jesus. So let's finish our story. Verses 9 and 10. I call a needy man became rich. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus looked directly at Zacchaeus. His eyes were full of love. His voice was filled with love. And he spoke loud enough for everybody in the crowd to hear, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And it had. The vile, sinful, greeting, cheating tax collector was saved and changed. He now belonged to God. He now was headed to heaven. He now was becoming a different man. Starting that day, he would begin to grow into the true meaning of his name, Zacchaeus. Righteous one. Jesus went on and said, "Since he also is a son of Abraham." Now that means more than the fact that he was Jewish. Yes, he was Jewish. Everybody else there were as well. It highlights what Abraham was in the eyes of God. Abraham was a man of faith. And that's how we become children of God, through an act of faith. Listen to how Paul describes this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. "Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." We become sons and daughters of God by an act of faith. Now, I believe in intellect. I do. But nobody comes to God through intellect. I support education. I do. But no one comes into the family of God through education. There's only one way to become a child of God, and it is by a simple act of faith. It's reaching out to Jesus with the faith you have. And believe me, it's the faith that God Himself gives you. Reaching out to Him, turning your heart to Him, and asking Him to come into your life. That simple childlike faith is the door by which you're saved. If you'll turn to the Lord, reach out to Jesus with that simple childlike faith, God promises to enter your heart, enter your life. It's that simple. And it's that profound. There was something else that was profound that day. Something that's profound right now. And that is the fact that God is seeking you before you ever seek Him. He is seeking you first. Look at verse 10. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." John MacArthur says that this is the most important truth in the entire Bible. My friends, if you were to put the message of the 66 books of the Bible into one sentence, this is the sentence. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, in the Greek text, which the Bible's New Testament was written in Koine Greek, the word lost means misplaced. Something put in the wrong place. Our lives apart from God are misplaced. Put in the wrong direction. They're empty, meaningless, have no true direction. Apart from God, we're all like Zacchaeus, the old Zacchaeus. Well, we may not be as sinful as he was, but we're just as lost and just as needy apart from God. And yet, in Jesus, God is seeking men and women, boys and girls, to become His children. That's the incredible truth. And this holy, awesome creator and author of the universe is a seeking God and has always been a seeking God. Listen to a passage of Scripture from Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 16. I'm going to read part of it to you. The Lord says to His prophet, "I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." God is a seeking God. He's seeking you. He wants you to be His child. He wants to bless you and direct you, use you in good works, and one day take you to be with Him in heaven. So the question for all of us, will you stay up in the tree? Whatever that tree symbolizes in your life, whatever that tree means of thinking some kind of false security or pride, confusion, or just plain busyness? Or will you choose to come down and receive Him joyfully? That's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus came down and received Jesus into his life, and he discovered that all those riches he had had from all those years of cheating people, all that couldn't compare with the riches of becoming a child of God. He had been poor in the things that mattered. Now, as a new man, he was beginning to see the riches of the things of eternity. Amen. You know, it's interesting that Luke records his name. We don't think about that unless you're a nerd like me and notice things like that and read about it. But the gospel writers did not always include the names of people that they wrote about. My favorite chapter in the entire Bible is John chapter 9. It's a story of Jesus healing a blind man. A whole chapter. And the Apostle John never gives his name. But here Luke, in this story, gives the name. Why? Well, perhaps because by the time Luke wrote his gospel, some years later, people knew this Zacchaeus. They knew who he was. And they knew who he was far beyond Jericho. We don't have the end of the story here in Luke's account here. We don't know what happened when Jesus and his disciples went to Zacchaeus' house. What did they eat for supper? How did they How did 13 guys stay? How'd you like to have 13 guys visit your house? 13 guys stay, what bedrooms they were in or whatever. We don't know what happened the next day. We have nothing recorded. We don't even have anything in the Bible recorded of what happened to Zacchaeus. But church history does. According to Clement of Alexandria, who was a church minister about AD 200, Zacchaeus became a prominent Christian. In fact, he became a pastor. He became an elder in the church of Caesarea. This man, whom all men hated, became a leader that people could respect and love. This man, who was in a tree, spent the rest of his life preaching about a different kind of wood. A cross by which all men can come to know God. God does strange things, doesn't He? So how do we respond to this story? How do we wrap it up? How do we apply it to the right now? Well, maybe with two very quick thoughts. First of all, please know that God loves you. He loves you. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter what your present is. He loves you. He is seeking you. He wants you to be His own. And secondly, you have to seek Him for that to happen. You have to respond with that act of faith I've talked about. You have to invite Jesus into your heart and receive forgiveness from God. You have to invite Him in so that transforming power that changed Zacchaeus can change you. And the time to do that is today. The time for salvation is always now. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. The opportunity is now. So let's end this message with one last Bible verse, because I think it speaks to the conclusion of what we're saying today. Today is the day of salvation. God is seeking you. Will you seek Him too? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father,